Speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today is a very unique day. Apart from being the fourth Sunday of Easter, it is also observed as Good Friday, a Good Shepherd Sunday, and also as Vocations Sunday observed in the province of Ontario. And in addition to that, Earth Day, which falls tomorrow, is also being observed. So we have so many things to look at and learn from the wonderful scriptures that we have read. And especially Psalm 23 is just about everyone's favorite. I remember fondly when a young boy, I think was roughly 5-6 years old, he memorized the Psalm 23 in my ancient language of my ancestors, which is Sanskrit. And he put his hand on his heart, and he said that by heart. And that really shook me up. You're so young, so I thought, what a great gift this child has. And this morning, Carter came to me, and he shared with me and Philip as well. You know, when I grow up, I want to have the largest church as possible. And he touched my cross, and he said, I want to have something like this. I said, wow, I see a calling in this boy already. It's wonderful. So Jesus as the Good Shepherd was one of the earliest images of the risen Christ. And we know this is part because of all the artwork that we see. And in the first 2 or 3 centuries, there were many statues of Jesus as shepherd and many paintings on the walls of the catacombs or underground burial sites of Rome and in Syria and across Asia Minor. Jesus is usually depicted as a young man with a lamb across his shoulders, and sometimes a lamb at either side of him. It is a very amazing thing to watch time and again. And children especially, they're drawn to that. We grew up watching those pictures when we were in Sunday school. It is interesting to know that Brooks Brothers, as you know, it's a brand that's very prominent in North America. And historically, many of us didn't know. In fact, it was my older son, Johan, Reverend Johan, pointed out, did you know that why they used that lamb, the fleece of lamb's wool hanging on a string, is because they were believers. They were one of the early settlers back then in North America. It was in 1850. And they adopted because it depicts the Lamb of God. What a marvelous thing. Very unusual logo, a Christian depicting Christ himself for a brand. I find that very interesting. And before we go deeper to understand the nature of a shepherd, let us first peek into a shepherd's role. What is a shepherd's role? And we see, we read that there's a difference between the hired hands versus the good shepherd himself. Shepherds were not just meek and mild. Indeed, shepherding was a risky occupation then and even now, as the shepherd lived out with his flock for long periods of time and had to perfect the flock from thief and predator. And we see that many in the modern day in Australia, they use dogs. They train the dogs to keep the flock together all through the whistles and the signals they send. So a shepherd needed to be a brave defender of his flock against all sorts of enemies and dangers of weather. That was his role. I think the highest risk one individual can play. Sometimes we see shepherds as they move in groups. It could be a family, a patriarch overseeing, and that their children, grandchildren, they are controlling most of the flocks. But here we are talking about that one single individual. And most of the times you come across just that one individual. The image of the shepherd as a doorway speaks to the practice of the shepherd himself sleeping in the gateway of the fold, so that no one could come in, or could any sheep go out without waking the shepherd. So there was a perfect mechanism. The shepherd stays there right at the door. And the sheep are surrounded with that little fence he builds, with either with stones that he gathers and puts it across, or some sticks or whatever he can find. But he is always sleeping at the door to make sure that no predator will enter or no sheep will leave. And that was a role. Imagine how much rest that shepherd would have had watching over his sheep. Therefore, it is another way of understanding the physical life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and that he had loved his own with his very body, just like this shepherd. And history tells us there are lots of shepherds who risked their lives, they lost their lives to the predators. If it's a very serious animal, it's a lion, tiger, or even a wolf. Wolves are generally around the corner all the time, whenever sheep are present. But he has to battle if alone. Imagine if being alone, it can be a very difficult task. So as the gospel text underscores, Christ lays down his life voluntarily, not because of some reward or some award, but voluntarily. It is the Father's love that defines him. 1 John illustrates what it means to lay down our lives for one another by the example of sharing our wealth with any sibling in need. Laying down one's life reminds me of my Middle Eastern experience. I was new to the area back then in the early 90s. And I was trying to get connected with the underground church. I'm going to be very discreet. I'm not going to mention names here because I have to protect my brothers who are still doing that ministry back in that area. They're still there, my friends. So this was one. I was heading to this place to join for the prayer on a Friday morning. Friday is a weekend. And I was just about 100 yards away from that home, and I seen all the cops surrounded that home. And there were already about 40 families with children, husbands, wives gathered. And the authorities walked in and said, they looked at everybody and said, okay, all of you move outside. They asked one question only one question. Who is the leader here? And this is a friend whom I admired. And I draw my inspiration about ministry from this man. He stepped aside and he put three steps forward. In the name of the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he raised his hand and said, I am the leader. And that is what Jesus is trying to teach us today. Laying down one's life for friends. And he said, let them go. I am their leader. They have come because I have invited them. So I am the host. And I don't know where that friend of mine is. We never heard about him again. So such is the risk. He was shepherding hundreds and hundreds of people in that city. So these give us an idea as to what is happening even in the present day modern times. So these leaders are people who do the difficult and dangerous work of herding, protecting, and caring for a flock by putting their bodies and safety online. And they will always be remembered. I still remember my friend. Jesus dies because what he is. There is a purpose. It's a purpose-driven thing that he does. He is through the life-giving love of God the Father. And the shepherd was one who led by intimately knowing his flock, for they knew his voice. They recognized his voice. And as followers of Christ, as the sheep of his own fold, we must learn how to recognize his voice. So the shepherd is an image of guide and teacher, and even more, a leader. So the image of shepherd was a powerful and encouraging description of the Christ who would nurture, protect, guide in this life, and then lead home to the end of the life. And that's our journey. It's not just him leading all the way through till the end. And most of the funerals, whenever I sit with the families to plan the funeral liturgy, so what was your parents' or father or mother's favorite psalm? Psalm 23. That has always stayed in their hearts forever, till the end. And we too are to be shepherds. We are to do and be for others as Christ is for us. We are to be nurturing and tender with those who are weary or frail, for those who are afraid or grieved. We are to allow the love of the Christ to flow through us, those who also need us in those situations. So warrior qualities are not simply to do with the physical acts of daring, but also the political and social acts of defense and inclusion, the legal and financial support of those who are undefended, and the spiritual courage to include in our hearts those who fear and do not understand. So where and what people, creatures and places are calling us to express the fierce and passionate love of God. The passionate love of God. Unless we understand that bit, we will not be able to extend. When we understand that and absorb that, only God allows that to flow from our hearts. So the contrasting image of green pastures and the valley of the shadow of death in Psalm 23 serves as an apt illustration of the dark, stark differences between God, what he intends for our planet, and what humans have wrought over a period of time. The streams in the valleys below are polluted, as we know, with acid runoff, chemicals, and sludge that fouls the waters for residents, fish, and animals. We continue to watch these documentaries popping up all the time about environmental damage, and we learn so much what is happening in other parts of the world. Yet the church continues to minister in the midst of the mountains and valleys. Church has not abandoned that. We continue. We go deep into those valleys and climb high on the mountains, following the example of the Good Shepherd. And there was an interesting letter some of you would have read, a letter from Bishop Asbells to the diocese. For me, it was very, very touching. I'm sure it is for others as well. as he writes, but for some, God calls individuals to a distinct ministry through ordination, either as a deacon or a priest, and many other roles as we talk about the lay ministry. And all of us who are members of the church can play a part in helping to identify and encourage those among us who display particular gifts for ordained ministry. This is something that he reflected based on, I think, today he's ordaining one such a priest who has moved from another part of the world and who is going to shepherd in the future. That is a very welcoming sign. And he says, goes on to say, this is something that really touched my heart. And sometimes it takes a nudge. It did for me, that is for Bishop Aspel himself. And it did for me as well. We are all called to take up different roles in the ministry. And you can go through that letter and learn more about that, what he explains about his calling. It's very interesting. And I believe, I strongly believe, deeply and sincerely in my heart, that all of us here, present here, have a calling. Some are called to be fathers, and some mothers. Some are called to be sisters, and some are called to be brothers. Some are called to be just friends or neighbors. And some are called to be husbands and wives. That is our calling. There are many a time people have approached me and say, oh, so this is your calling? I said, no, you too have a calling. You too have a calling. Are you a father? Yes, I am. So that's your calling. That's God has bestowed upon you that responsibility to raise your family, to be an example to others. Everyone has a calling. In the youth ministry, one of those primary things, you know, teenagers, they shy away. When you ask, hey, can you sing? No, no. I said, no, you can sing. Okay, if you don't sing, do you play an instrument? So I give them maximum opportunities. And coming, the bottom line is, no, I don't play any. Everybody is given a voice. And that's your gift. You can sing. You can start somewhere. So that's a gift. All it needs is to stir it up. It's all resting at the bottom. You need to stir it up so that gifts will show up, and then you become aware of what gifts you bear, what God has bestowed upon you. So all of us have a calling, never to forget. And some are called to be the servants of God. So we need to take courage and speak our loving truth to be really courageous and to listen to others. I always encourage, active listening is very important. Active listening is something that allows us to understand and then share our thoughts or opinions. Where and who is in need of encouragement, challenge, invitation, we need to identify that. And what voices need to be heard by us? Something when we pay attention, when we desire to listen. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is not just a pretty stained glass image of history. No, it's more than that. He's tender. He's disturbing. He's saving, challenging, and abundantly, abundantly generous Lord who comes to us striding out of the pages of story that we read and listen and understand, and we absorb that into our hearts and minds to awaken our spirits. That's the good shepherd that we follow, awakening us to life abundant and awakening us to passionately desire to share this abundance with all in Christ's world. Sharing is very important. I remember last minute before I came to announce, Margie asked me to announce about the food donations, and there's so many needs. So much we could do more than what we are doing. It's very important. So awakening us to life abundant is important. Because of our risen Lord and the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. Amen.